Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig was the James Bond that we were just talking about in the bathroom.
Because we were talking one of the workers here, and we were talking about, I don't know how it got on to James Bond, but
We always talk
he
about
basically
Pierce
said
Brosnan.
That Pierce Brosnan's the worst James Bond.
Pierce Brosnan.
I don't know about that, because I had the ability to belly up to a bar in some tropical island right beside Pierce, so I feel like I know him, and I'm not even going to go there.
If I were a betting man, he had a linen shirt on.
He had a linen shirt on.
A white linen shirt.
His hair was absolutely perfect.
I bet. He probably had some Ray-Bans on.
He did not. I'm not kidding you. I was right beside him. And my wife, who were bellied up to this little bar, having a cold cleansing lager or
we having a beer?
Tropical drink. Yep.
I thought you might have been having like, I thought you would have been having like a margarita or something.
Bots is on.
Jason Botcher, yeah, we didn't get a chance to pump that. We got to talking about James Bond a little bit too much. But I guess when you open a radio show, TV show, you got to set the table for everybody. At 10 o'clock right out of the gate, we're going to have General Manager Jason Botcher on, and he joins us now. So what's up, Bots? We're talking James Bond.
Wow, you guys got the hot items right off the bat today. That's good to hear.
You know what? You know what's funny is we get you on. Now I think about it, I was going to say, well, are you a Bond fan? But you know what? Ralph Kruger would make one hell of a James Bond.
I completely agree with you. He got that international flair to him and stuff. I agree with you on that one.
I think he would be like a good James Bond candidate. You just see the way he looks behind the bench, just dialed right in and dapper
he
as can be.
He looks perfect in his suits, his tie. I don't even know how he ties his tie so perfectly.
That's what we
need. I need it in the off season. He'll have to sit down with me and help me out in that category for
that's
sure.
Right. Hard hitting analysis here, Bots. So that's where we watch our games. We worry about the ties the coaches are wearing and everything. We don't worry about the plays that are made. How are you? How was the All-Star break?
It was good, you know. I think it's a great break actually for our players and everyone. You know, you look at the Christmas break you get; it's just so short, and the holidays are so chaotic. This allows players to get away. Get refocused, re-energized for the last part of the season here. And you know what I've seen is just the development of the players too. Now, you know, Craig's back in your day, PD or Craig, like you take 7 days off, it'd be horrendous. You know, guys would be terrible. But I think guys take care of themselves so much better nowadays. And Ralph and myself have been very impressed with the effort in practice the last couple of days. I think our execution took a big jump from day two from day one. And that will be the challenge here tonight against Ottawa. You know, I think we'll be obviously the fresher team than Ottawa with Ottawa playing last night. But I think Ottawa's execution will probably be a little bit better just getting that first game out of the way. So it'll be important for us to, you know, bring energy right off the bat to start the game here tonight, but really try to focus on our execution.
Why us? Why did you have to center us out?
I think he knows us pretty well. Is what?
What
he's
about you?
To say. What,
how did you feel after a week off, Bots?
I'll throw myself in that same boat. If I took 7 days off in the middle of the year from skating, it takes you 3 weeks
to get back.
For sure. Or hey, you know, you get back the first day, you'd have a groin pull or a hip issue type of thing, and you're out for a month. So, but these guys, the way they take care of their bodies now, and just the workouts and you know, they came back in I thought great spirits and did a great job in the last couple of days in practice. So looking forward to finally get back into game situations here.
Well, by no means do I want to make this interview about me, but I will tell you that looking back and what you just said, I can tell you that the reason why I felt so terribly when I came back, it wasn't the 7 days off. It was what I did during the seven days
off.
And that's exactly where I feel like the game has changed the most before we get into some more in-depth stuff is and are the athletes that these players have become just even in the last 15 years.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, they're always looking for the edge. They're always looking for something that can help them. And they're continually asking us. They're continually asking other, you know, other players in the league. Whenever someone has success, what are they doing? What training methods are there? They're becoming extremely proactive in their own development. And you know, I think our group in general over the last couple of years has taken a big step in that direction. And then you bring in someone like Michael Frolik. He's just a consummate pro. He's played in you know, Stanley Cup finals. He's played in World Championships. Just how he handles himself day in day out as a veteran player. You know, I think those things are great sort of learning experiences for our younger players, and now they're bringing that into their own routine.
Speaking of development, it's you know, we've got some young players on this team. You know, a player like Casey Mittelstadt making the decision to you know, put him down on the minors for a little while to allow him to play more minutes, get into some different situations that he may not have gotten up here in the NHL. Guys like Rasmus Dahlin, Joakim Harju, where do you feel the development of some of these young guys are right now?
Well, I think especially you look at someone like Casey. We certainly talked a lot about what to do with his development, and he can certainly play in the National Hockey League right now. But I think it's more of a along the lines of just surviving in the league, and we have high expectations for Casey, and I know Casey has high expectations for his own career, and I think just getting him into an environment where he has the opportunity to make a few more plays, continue to work on his game, and the thing that allowed us to have confidence in making this move, too, was just the relationship that Chris Taylor developed with Ralph while being up here earlier in the year. He knows, Chris knows exactly what Ralph is looking for from Casey. I think Chris also saw Casey in some of his best games of the year, whether it was the first game of the season against Pittsburgh or he had another strong game against LA at the start of the season. And then he also saw him when he struggled, and he knows the difference there. And I think that that knowledge and has helped Chris interact with Casey very well in Rochester. And, you know, we've been happy with his development over the last couple weeks down there.
What's the mission? We're joined right now on the line with Jason Bottrell, general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. Game night tonight, 7 p.m. at home, Ottawa in Buffalo here. Coming out of the break here, what is your mission between now and the end of the year?
Well, our mission for our team is to win tonight against Ottawa, and that has to be the focus. And that has to be, you know, I think Ralph's talked a lot about ever since the disappointing loss to Tampa Bay on New Year's Eve, just getting our group refocused from a standpoint of, hey, trying to win two out of three games. You know, and that's not dictating whether you're automatically going to be in the playoffs or what, but it's going to give you a chance. And that's what sort of Ralph is focused in on the players from that element. And, you know, the biggest thing is you try to look at, we certainly have to look from a management standpoint of a bigger picture, and so there will be decisions we have to make by the end of the month from that standpoint. But from our team focus and our individual, you know, day-to-day focus right now, it's, hey, what's the next game up? And we all know that we have, I believe, it's eight of the next nine games at home. We've also known that we've enjoyed, you know, one of the challenges we set to our team this year at the start of the year was to have a home ice presence. And I think overall we've done a pretty good job with that. And it's important that we continue that over the next couple of weeks here. But I think when our team has played extremely well throughout the year, you know, it's because they've kept things small. They've looked at the small picture here and stuff. And I think Ralph has done a very good job with the group from that standpoint.
You've said in a couple media scrums that you're actively looking to make some moves. And does that ever stop? Is that ongoing? And I guess with the trade deadline coming up, how soon in advance do deals start to be made for the trade deadline, or how far in advance might be another way to ask?
Well, look, I think there's always dialogue going on with different teams. It's just, you know, you're talking with a team, you feel you're close, and then they run into a couple strings of injuries during games. And I think during the break, you know, GMs get away from their teams a little bit, have an opportunity to go through, you know, scouting meetings with their group and sort of really see what they're looking for, you know, for sort of the stretch run here now and stuff. So, you know, and look, you just look at some GMs in the past, they're certainly aggressive trying to get their deals done in January or the start of February. Others want to wait straight to the end of the deadline, so, or close to the deadline. So you also have to understand sort of the GM that you are working with and what his sort of background is from that standpoint. But, you know, we're continuing having dialogue from that standpoint, and, you know, we did make the trade to bring in Frolik. We've been very happy with what he's added to our penalty kill situation, and we're excited to see now with Jeff Skinner coming back into our lineup tonight, just that line of Skinner, Johansson, Frolik, to see how what chemistry they can develop as a group there, and we'll see what materializes.
What is your main area of need? Is what in particular, what type of player are you looking for?
Well, I think
is there one?
Well, I think, you know, we've been very honest. We've continued to try to look at our forward group to try to improve that group. We feel we have some young players, but when you lose Sabaka, when you lose Tage Thompson for the year, you're looking to try to add to that mix and stuff for sure. And the development, we talked earlier a little bit just about the development of some of our younger defensemen. You know, when we were sitting here in the summer and making the trade for Henry Jokiharju, we didn't have him, oh, this guy's going to be on our team for sure. And he stepped up from that standpoint, and that's allowed us to have more depth from a defensive standpoint. And the same thing with a player like Lawrence Pilot. You know, it's a situation where he's accomplished what we wanted for him to accomplish in the American Hockey League. He's come up and played well. He deserves the opportunity to stay here right now and stuff. So when these players come into the mix, you know, it gives us more options here on defense. But, you know, what we're looking for is from a forward standpoint. I continue to think just, you know, finding more offensive skill, but also to just speed. You know, the way that Ralph wants our players to play on the forecheck and tracking back, you know, if we can continue to improve our speed, but that's something that's, you know, it's going to be ongoing, whether it's you know, before the deadline, the summer, that's something that we're going to continue to work at.
Jason Botchel joining us here on the line. Bots, feel free. I know you're busy. I know you have a game day, so just tell us when you got to go. Otherwise, we'll keep you on till noon. That's up to you. But, you know, one player I want to ask you about, obviously, I mean, I'd like to ask you about if there's any kind of preliminary talks with Sam Reinhart. But another player I'd like to ask you about, and I kind of feel like he was a free acquisition in the offseason, is Curtis Lazar. And I know he's not like the saving grace a lot of people might say, but I've really liked his game. I've really liked his style of play. And I'm wondering if he's a guy that might be around for a while.
Well, your first conversation or first question in regards to Sam is, look, obviously Sam is represented by Newport Sports. We have quite a few clients from Newport and keep those dialogues going very well. But what we've sort of believed is, hey, let's have things continue to go here. Sam's a restricted free agent in the year. He's having a very strong year. Let's keep the focus on just his play and moving from that standpoint. In regards to Curtis, what, you know, we were excited about signing him on. I believe we signed him on July 1st last year, and brought him into the mix. And what I like a lot about Curtis is just it shows what we're trying to strive for from a development standpoint here. And when you talk about development, everyone talks about your young players such as, you know, Rasmus Dahlin or Casey Mittelstadt, but it's also about a player like Curtis here and former first round pick who sort of bounced through the league a little bit. I thought he had a very strong training camp for us. And then came up for our Western road trip, got some feedback on what he can really improve on his game, and I thought he really worked on those elements in Rochester. So when he came back up, one, I thought his penalty killing was that much better. I thought his assertiveness around the net was that much better. I thought his work on his faceoffs were that much better. And that allowed him to get, you know, into the lineup and, more importantly, gain Ralph's trust in those situations there. So I think he took that feedback to heart and really worked on his game, and he certainly has added an element to us in a sort of a specific need there.
Going back to the cap situation, I'm certainly not a capologist by any stretch of the imagination, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are very much like myself. I hear a lot about, you know, we're over the cap kind of right now and how that affects us for next year, the cap recapture. Can you, you know, explain, you know, how you're going to try and work the cap, you know, to finish the end of the season, or how that works?
Well, right now, obviously, with some of the players that we have on long-term injury, the Pagulas have given us the opportunity to go above the cap. We can, you know, it's great that you have that ability to go above through long-term injury, whether it was Matt Hunwick at the start of the season or Vladimir Sobotka. But you also have to have your ownership agree to, hey, take on the extra salary from that standpoint. So it allows you to go over the cap during the season and stay compliant from that standpoint. It's just where there could be an overage for next year is if performance bonuses are earned. So we have players such as Rasmus Dahlin and Henry Jokiharju and before and Casey Mittelstadt that could achieve performance bonuses. If they achieve those performance bonuses, then that will come out of our cap for next year. So that's just something that we certainly have in our eye on, and we want to have as much flexibility from year to year and stuff from a cap situation.
Well, Bots, I think we've long overdone our time with you, so appreciate your time. Did you do any scouting over the break?
Did a little bit of scouting over the break. Also had a, you know, you always try to find the balance here with my family and stuff too, so spend a couple days with my family, which I certainly enjoyed. But what has excited me is just, you know, the energy of our coaches coming back after the break and just how re-energized our players have been and stuff. And now it's for us to go out there and get results. You know, overall, I think we've played fairly well since the Christmas break, but there's still the element of now getting results. And that's what I'm excited about, what this group could entail over the next couple of weeks here, starting here tonight against Ottawa.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the game. Did you happen to make your way? I mean, this might be an assuming question. Did you happen to make your way down to USA Arena at all?
I have spent some time at USA Arena.
Just wondering. I have my eye on a kid down there.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate talking with you guys. Thank you very much for having me on here today, guys.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks. Jason Bottrell, kind enough to join us here on a game day. Ottawa in town, 7 o'clock puck drop. You know who I'm talking about, right? Obviously.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, you know, he played well that night. We never got a chance. I never plugged the kid ever.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't do that. I don't do that, Luke Tuck.
I'll do it.
He was unwritten. No,
the only reason why he's having success is because he stayed with you for a year, Petey.
No,
he got to learn all of that.
His brother is doing just fine, and his brother made it just fine without me. So he's got some great advice. He's got a good head on his shoulders. But, I watched that game. There were over 200 scouts there. I mean, I have to imagine when you have – you know, that kind of a game. It's the CHL Top Prospects game. That's the All-American game. So basically the way they did it this year was the NTDP team. I always get those.
National
Team Development Program.
Yep.
Versus all the USHL.
All-Stars.
Not the All-Stars.
But the young guys?
Top-rated draft picks or draft top-rated players in the draft, but they have to be American, not just from the USHL. But anyway, the NTDP, I think beat them like 6-1, the score was not indicative of the game. I mean, it was a good hockey game, and there's a lot of great young talent out there. But, it was just, you know, I didn't want to hint to him. I didn't want to let him know that Luke Tuck is exactly what...
Exactly.
Fast, exactly,
skilled,
what every
powerful,
what every team would want. And yes, I'm biased. I am biased. I coached this kid. He lived with me. I mean, but I've never known a player going into the draft the way I know this player. So I know that when you get a player like this, because I was nothing like this. I was like Marmaduke. Okay, like I decided how I wanted to play. You know, at that age when I was.
Where is he rated this year?
I think some – you know what? I think some places – like the NHL, Danny Maher, who's been on our show, had him as an A. So there were 31 ranked A skaters, and he was an A skater. So that would put him in the top 31. I think Craig Button's list had him in the late 30s, early 40s. Someone might have had him lower.
Will he drop to the second round, mid-second round?
I don't know. I don't know. Again, like I said to you, I can't give you an honest evaluation because I'm 100% biased. But I'll tell you what, you look at a player that you know does everything well.
Yeah.
and then you look at a player that loves to go out and try to rock people. I mean, with intent, you know what I mean, to go and hit. You can't teach that stuff. That's the kind of stuff that you wish, whether they can go out and do it or not, you want them to kind of have that drive, and he has that. He's, you know, he's super, super skilled. He's got a nasty edge. He's got a wicked shot. He's faster than people give him credit for. But he's young. Watch him play, and he's young. I mean, these kids get so – they all do. They get so excited and kind of drift toward the puck, right? You know, like, and they kind of get bunched up. It's not him. That's like all these kids. You watch the game, and you're like, oh, if they only knew to just kind of be a little more patient. Things you really have to be stressed when you're –
Well, it'll certainly be an interesting draft for you to be able to obviously have this kid live at your house.
Yeah,
and to watch him and be close with the family, and now, you know, Luke being eligible to be drafted this year, I think that's going to mean something to you.
Yeah, it'll be pretty cool. And he's a former junior Sabre. Les Kuntar's son Trevor was in the game. Another Buffalo connection who won the MVP of the game was Jeff Sanderson's kid. He's a defenseman.
Okay,
he's the real deal. He is. This kid is on. What was Jeff Sanderson best known for?
I have no idea.
G-E-O-F-F. Speed.
Speed.
Hey, this kid can fly. He's a defenseman. He's got good size. He's got great skill. He hits. I mean, he's got a lot going on.
Okay,
for him.
Well, that'll be interesting to watch.
So anyway, moving on. Anything else Jason Bottrell said that caught your eye? I don't know that you know he's going to give us anything earth shattering. He's always been a guy that keeps a lot close to his chest. So I think, you know, to get him on and just hear him talk and talk about the situation where the team is and what they expect is you know, really what all you're going to get. Because if you've noticed, since he's been a general manager, he's given very little.
What you have to understand is there is a plan. The plan is just not going to be told to everybody, you know, on the outside. He has a plan. He's you can tell that he's very closed in the information that he does give out. But what you need to understand is you look back to all those years, okay? You look back to all the years in Pittsburgh when that team had developed all their players and then they were in an opportunity to start winning. That's when you saw a crazy amount of trades that happened every single year for Pittsburgh. They always were trying to make themselves better to put themselves in a chance to win the Stanley Cup. Well, right now, the Sabres aren't in that category. They're not anywhere near the category. They're still in the phase. We need to allow our younger players to continue to get better because those are the ones that are going to take this team to another level, okay? And, you know, as much as, you know, patience for most is you know, you start to get irritated. I mean, you can't just make trades for the sake of making trades. That being said, you know, this team I think has gotten better, and I think that we're starting to see signs of our younger players like Rasmus Dahlin and Joakim Harju. And you look at the seasons that Olofsson has had this year; it's been absolutely incredible. You're starting to see signs of these younger players really take over. And I say young players. Look at Jack Eichel; he's still 23 years old, still a kid. And he's one of the elite players. There's a lot of good things going on here. Now there needs to be that puzzle that you need to put the puzzle pieces together. And it's going to be a very interesting offseason, probably more interesting than any other year that we've had in the last 10, 15 years, because there's what, 12, 13 players that are restricted or unrestricted? This could be a very different team, you know, coming next year.
Have you seen, and I've been watching since the minute he went back to junior, because I thought it was an amazing move, and I think a lot of people wanted to see Dylan Cousins here this year. Have you seen what he's doing? Do not look. Have you seen what he's doing in the WHL?
Well,
I'm sure you catch some of it on Twitter, but
I learned, what was his last game? He had 3 goals and 1 assist?
That was a couple games ago. Then he scored the next. He's scoring at will here, but do you want to know what he's doing?
Yes.
So every player until Cousins on this, so he's sixth in the WHL in scoring, okay? Brutal.
That's not good.
35 games played. The leaders and everyone else ahead of him, 46 games, 45. So he's, with the exception of the guy right ahead of him, Seth Jarvis, has played 41 games. Dylan Cousins has 59 points in 35 games in the WHL.
28 goals.
28 goals. All these other guys, the guy leading the league has 72 points, 13 points ahead. He's played 11 more games. So Cousins would be crushing that. All I'm saying is I'm not putting all my stock in Dylan Cousins. I'm just saying that this has been really fun to watch. When Sam went back to junior, he didn't put these kind of numbers up. That's not a shot at Sam. It's a testament to Dylan Cousins, I think, is what I'm trying to get at. I mean, he went, and not to mention he missed all those games because he had to go win a World Junior.
He is a nice player, and I'll tell you this: I'm going to tell you this. He was one of the most impressive guys at the rookie camp when I watched him play. He's 18 years old. He now is. Skating with men, older players. He did not disappoint. He's got great size. He's got great skills. He's a great skater. I mean, there is a tremendous upside for Dylan Cousins. He's got nice hands. He's got nice skill set.
Great attitude. UConn Gold, baby. Yeah. That's what we call him. UConn Gold. He's special. He's a special kind of person. It's
maturity.
That's what it is.
You know what I'm saying?
See, like, when I was that age, I don't know that I could have recognized maturity. I still might have issues identifying with that sometimes, but you know what? I can tell you he's mature.
He's more mature
than we are.
I would probably say yes to that, and it's pretty embarrassing, but it's because 18-year-old kid, and he was so well-spoken for an 18-year-old. Usually you get the 18-year-olds that stutter over their words, the dialogue in which they speak is very shallow and it's not really, there's not a whole lot of content to it. Dylan Cousins is mature beyond his years, and that's going to take him, it's going to take him a long way. Just his maturity and how he deals with the game right now.
All right, we'll be right back. Did you hear about Ovi? Did you see that the Caps played last night? Don't look. Do me a favor, don't look. Ovi watch. Don't look. Marty's coming on FaceTime next, ladies and gentlemen.
Did Ovi score? No, he didn't score. He did score.
He didn't score or did score?
I don't know. At one time I looked it up and it was 4-2 and Ovi did not have. I check more Capitals games than any other team in the league times 10.
So he hadn't scored by that point?
What was the score of the game, Petey?
4-2. He didn't play. See, I didn't even know that he wasn't playing, and then I went and I checked the same thing that he won 4-2. I'm like, how many did he get? Because we got Ovi watching the board in the back.
Yeah,
and he didn't get any. And I went and I checked to see his ice time and stuff. And no, you know why?
All-Star game.
You see, he didn't want to go to the All-Star
ridiculous.
Game.
Ridiculous. All-Star game. Ovi missing games. We can't afford to miss games,
right? That was he might have been able to have a couple last night.
A hat trick.
He might have had the empty netter. There might have been an empty netter. It's just unacceptable. All right, we'll be right back. Martin Biron going to join us here in the Instigators. And Ottawa's in town, 7 o'clock puck drop. So that means 6:30 pregame show with our man Marty and Duffer. And we'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Nothing comes close.
All right. Good morning. And we welcome in. Where is he? Where is he? There he is.
Section 116, boys. Section 116. That's where it's at.
Mr. Dreamy Eyes. Does that make you uncomfortable,
PD.
Marty?
Now I'm going to have to give you a compliment about your hair and your beard. And
no.
So
you don't.
It's all hug and then get together and give ourselves a big hug.
Marty, haven't you learned? Have you not learned anything? You don't give a compliment with the expectation of receiving one. That would be awkward.
Well, I felt it was very awkward when you.
That's just you deflecting.
You brought me on.
You
so that's
humble
why.
Little guy. You. You're so humble, Marty. How's it going, man?
What's going on? I want to ask you a question. Who do you think was the first guy on the ice for practice this morning?
Skinner.
Nope.
Jack.
It was Jack. Jack was on the ice. There was nobody on. There was Mike Bills, goalie coach, assistant coach here, was putting the pucks around, and Jack was in the slot at the Zamboni end of the ice and was just getting pucks to his back end, putting them to his forehand, and a quick wrist shot to go to the top shelf. And he did about maybe 20, 25 pucks like that. And then after maybe 3-4 minutes, you saw some players coming on the ice. But it's kind of interesting that, you know, after spending some time at the All-Star game, not having as much of a break as everybody else, that on the first day of a game after the bye week and the All-Star break, your captain, Jack Eichel, is on the ice and he's working on his shot. Like, he could have easily been like, I've been on the ice. I don't need to do as much now. I just got to get mentally ready. But he's still getting on the ice, getting physically ready for the games, and that's great.
Do you remember a guy we played with by the name of Dane Jackson?
Oh, yeah. Dano, yes. I remember Dane Jackson.
He's a great guy. Great looking guy, too, by the way. But he's
an assistant coach in college now, right?
North Dakota. So I played with Parise, and Parise brought the Dane Jackson backhand camp to the Devils. And every day before practice, Parise, Langenbrunner, and Travis Ajak were on the ice for 25 minutes. Anybody else was welcome to join them, but they went on so early that everybody was kind of getting their workouts done and treatments. That's how early they went on. And they went on and did backhand camp, and I always thought that was amazing.
What the heck is backhand camp? Just working on a backhand?
Everything on your back, every single thing on your backhand. Anybody in the NHL can take a pass in their forehand. Anybody. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting that he's out there doing that.
Well, you guys remember the Ryan O'Reilly practices at the end of the practice or the morning skate? Ryan O'Reilly would gather a bunch of guys, and they would work on, you know, one-timers, receiving pucks on the backhand, receiving a fluttering puck, working on saucer pass, and I thought that was one of the best things that Ryan O'Reilly did when he was here, is establish that work and the details of the game. And I think now Jack is carrying that on a little bit, and I love that he was out there working on the shot. We all know that Jack has scored more goals this year, his shooting percentage is higher, and it's not an accident. He's working on it. He's actually taking the time to work on his shot and to work on different situations to duplicate those when he has less time and it has to be a better shot in the game.
So what on the ice right now, Marty, what are the lines looking like?
Well, they don't have the lines yet. And you know what's funny is we talk about, and you guys mentioned it with Jason Bottrell, the Ralph Kruger impact and what he's doing and being James Bond and because of his European influence. But what I love about Ralph Kruger is he brings the new school. When he talks about analytics, he talks about activation in the morning instead of morning skates. He's talking about one-on-one meetings instead of team meeting. But then he brings a little bit of the old school on the ice as well. So when the guys got on the ice, and Rivs and PD and anybody that's played the game, you know, in juniors or college in the 90s and 2000, you'll laugh when you say this, but everybody was skating around the ice. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, speed it up between the blue lines. And there's a coach standing at the blue line, tapping his stick, and you take about 4 or 5 quick strides between the blue lines on both sides of the ice. And that used to be the go-to drill, the first 2-3 minutes of practice back
stretch
when I was a peewee, right?
Hey, Marty, stretch the groin, drag the back leg. The
oh, yeah. Oh, you remember the one that they didn't do this morning, but you would go from the boards at the blue line to the middle of the ice at the red line and the boards at the blue line. You do the crossover in the neutral zone. So I thought that was kind of fun that Ralph had that old school kind of drill mentality to start practice today.
Well, am I supposed to take over? I guess that's my air right there. It's time for me to start. What's up, Marty? No. Gergensen looks like, no, but seriously, yesterday we saw the lines. Looks like Gergensen's with Eichel and Reinhardt, and then you have Skinner's back. Who's going to benefit most from that? It looks like it's going to be Frolik, Johansson, and Skinner, which I think Skinner to those two guys might add a nice little dynamic.
I'm interested to see how that works out because Marcus Johansson has played better of late at the, you know, at the center ice position. Frolik, it's a very responsible player, kills penalties, but the experience of Michael Frolik may be able to adjust and adapt to the skill of a Jeff Skinner. So I'm looking forward to see if that line could be a nice complementary line to what Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhardt can do with the amount of ice time that they're getting. So I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, we're going to see what the defense pairing are going to shape up to be. Yesterday, it looked as though McCabe and Bogosian were the fourth pair on defense, but obviously, Ralph Kruger is probably going to tell everybody it's game time decision. They could be going 11-7 or 12-6. You know, who knows here, but two things. Who's going to be in on defense? Because you guys just talked to Jason Botterill, and I think there is a logjam at defense. There is enough depth. They weren't expecting, you know, Joki Aho and Pilot to be taking such a dominant role and to be staying for the season. So now you've got a couple of extra bodies on defense. Maybe you can start making more phone calls because you, you're moving towards a group of six defensemen as opposed to having seven and a rotation for seven. So to me, that is interesting to see who the top six are going to be and how long they keep it that way.
At what point in time do you have to make a decision on that group of eight right now? Because you still have guys in the minors that are going to start creeping up very soon and wanting to take a piece of an NHL job. You talked about Lawrence Pilot coming in, obviously Rasmus Dahlin being just a kid and Joki Haju playing above expectations. If we're looking to trade a defenseman to get down to a number where we don't have to play seven defensemen all the time, what defensemen are the ones that are movable?
Well, obviously right now you're looking at the guys that have been healthy scratchers or have been spending some time in the prize box. You know, that's Bogosian, that's Colin Miller. I don't know if Jake McCabe's going to play tonight or not. We'll have to see. But those are your guys. Rasmus Ristolainen, obviously, I think, played really well this year, can still be a hot commodity when you're calling around and maybe teams are looking for a big right-hand defenseman. You know, our text message the other day, Petey, you guys were talking about Toronto's looking for a right-hand defenseman. Well, I don't know that you want to trade, you know, Rasmus Ristolainen to a rival like the Toronto Maple Leafs because you're going to have to play him four or five times every year, maybe playoffs.
Riv said that doesn't matter.
Good, but Marty, I don't know that you want to do that.
Do you actually think that matters? Do you think it matters? Are we worried about playing Rasmus Ristolainen four times a year? Are we really?
I think it depends on the return, obviously. But I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening. I don't see Buffalo and Toronto coming together and making that type of deal with major parts. You know, like guys that have been rumored out of Toronto are Kasper Kapanen, Kerfoot. You've got guys that Andreas Johnsson. So those are big parts of what the Maple Leafs are about. So I don't see really Buffalo Toronto getting together making a trade that includes major parts going in each direction.
Yeah, are you sick? You think you honestly, like, it's the same thing I said yesterday, and you bit my head off.
Like, those players that he just named, Kerfoot, Kapanen, Johansson, those are secondary pieces in Toronto. Secondary. They have Mitch Marner. They have Matthews. They have Tavares. They have
Nylander. They're also secondary pieces that they can't afford either because they have a defense core that has no money for next year.
I know, but don't you think that one of those players could help the Sabres moving forward?
You don't need one. You need more than one.
Okay. Well, you know what? There's a deal to be made because just hypothetically, you have a Ristolainen that could bode well. They need a right-handed defenseman that has term on his contract. If they need him, then take him because we can get a good return for Rasmus Ristolainen. If it makes sense for us, then I would do the trade. I'm not worried about playing Rasmus Ristolainen four times a year in Toronto. Big deal.
Is it Marty, before you answer that, because I kind of made the counter after we got deeper into the discussion, I realized that it's not even that you want that you care about playing against him four times a year and potentially the playoffs. It's like, do you want to see a player that was maybe kind of just, you know, doing okay on your squad, and then all of a sudden you trade him to your division rival, and all of a sudden, boom, he takes off, and now he's having a great year?
I listen, you can't be scared of that because you have to make your team better.
That's
so
it.
Obviously, there's always the risk that you make a trade and that player develops to be just a fantastic. Listen, Dominik Hasek was traded from Chicago, and I'm sure the Blackhawks were like, man, we traded probably the best goaltender of all time to Buffalo, but Chicago still had Eddie Belfour, and they still went to the Cup, and they still had some great years. So you can't be worried that the player you're going to trade is going to turn out to be this fantastic player. You just have to get a good return. You have to worry about your team. And once that player leaves, forget about it.
Talking about specifically Toronto. I'm talking specifically Toronto, not a West Conference team where like he goes to Dallas and lights it up. So I'd be saying, great, good for Risto.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that is a little bit dangerous because you're directly impacting a team that you're going to compete for a playoff spot. So you're trying. Toronto needs a D. Why am I going to facilitate the Toronto Maple Leafs to get what they want and to fix their problem? I'm going to try to make that trade somewhere else and not give Toronto the chance to fix their problem. I'm trying to fix my problem, number one, but I also don't want to fix a rival's problem or a team in your division's problem. I'm going to look for the other 29 teams in the National Hockey League first before I help Toronto fixing their issues.
No question about it.
Take that.
Take that. What do you mean? He's basically talking exactly what I'm talking. Obviously, Toronto would not be tops on my list to make a trade. But if they make a trade and they want Rasmus Ristolainen and they're going to pay for him and you're going to get a great return, then I would have absolutely no problem making the trade because I'm worried about what I'm getting in return and what's going to make my team better. That's what I'm most concerned about.
Okay, here's
it could happen, but I'd say it's unlikely, but it could very much happen. If you don't get the return you want for the players that you want to trade, then you got to look for maybe a team like Toronto or a team like Montreal or whatever to be able to get that return.
You got any off the top of your head diss or dats, Marty?
Ooh, well, Jason Botterill said Ralph Kruger has been telling the players that they need to win two out of the next three for the rest of the year and try to get in the playoffs. That's what you're pushing for, right? So this or that, I would say, do you look at the next 10 games and say the team needs to win at least 7 out of the next 10, or do you stay small and you focus on 2 out of 3? But for me right now, I'm looking at the next 10 and I'm looking at big picture. I know maybe the players don't, but I guess this or that, are you more inclined to do what players do, look at two of the next three? So we look at Ottawa, Montreal, and Columbus, or are you looking at the next 10 more like the fans and the media are doing? This or that, what's a better approach, the players or the fans and the media?
I would want to keep it smaller. Focus on the game at task. You should be worried about nothing more than the Senators because I'm going to tell you right now, they're not a pushover. It's not a guaranteed win. They're playing well, and they're at the same category as the Sabres. So right now, it's not like you're going in there saying that we're going to beat every team in the next 10 games. I would keep it nice and short. I would keep it to the point of let's not worry about anything else but getting through and winning against the Ottawa Senators.
Well, I think I would tend to agree with you, but for me, even if you went 7-3 in the next 10, like how many points are you going to get, better? How many spots are you going to jump up? I think you almost have to go 8-2, 9-1, and that's where the big picture comes now. The St. Louis Blues a year ago went 9-1-1 in the month of February. That's the reason why they were able to make a jump forward. So you need to be almost perfect here in the next 9-10 games to be able to jump two or three teams and get within 4 points of a playoff spot. Toronto won last night in Nashville. So those are all teams that are going to, they're not in the playoff spot right now, but they're still going to hope to get closer.
Thanks, Marty. I don't
want to. Do I make you depressed?
No, I don't want to play. Do I get to play?
Yeah, you can.
I don't know. I think you just got to win tonight. How about that? Start with Ottawa. Start with getting your legs underneath you after 10 days off, and just know that there are a lot of winnable games here.
For you, just quick. Who's got the advantage tonight? The Ottawa Senators that played last night, so they got a game under their belt, or the Sabres, who are fresh and don't have to worry about playing two games in two nights?
Let's hope the Ottawa Senators are stiff.
No question, it's Ottawa.
I think it's Ottawa. They got the kinks out.
Anytime you can get a game after being off that long, we all have been through it before. That first game back is extremely difficult to play. And then to play a back-to-back game, I think actually Ottawa will feel much better than they did in their first game.
Yeah. I bet they'd feel worse if they had practice
today. I tend to agree.
But so, Marty, great stuff as always. Bat those eyes for
us. Awesome, guys. I'll be, I'm coming to visit you guys in studio around 12:30. So, Rivs, if you want to hang out, just wait a half an hour. I'll be there.
Thanks for the warning. We'll be gone by 12:10.
Sounds good. You're supposed to stick around, PD.
We'll hear you rolling around. We'll hear you coming around the mountain when you'll be coming around the mountain.
Woo, you'll be waving at me on the way out.
You'll be in my rearview mirror, Marty.
Okay. Have a good one, guys.
See you, man. Stuff, Marty. All right, Marty Biron, kind enough to join us here on the Instigators, taking time out of his busy day.
It looked like he was really busy there. Right?
I say that with a smile. There's a contract signing in the NHL.
Whoa.
You want to hear who it is? You're going to have to wait 3 or 4 minutes. See you on the other side of the break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
More of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, brace yourself. If I had told you Marcus Peterson signed a contract, how much money do you think it would be worth?
I have absolutely no idea. I don't know a whole lot about Marcus Peterson, to be honest with you.
You know where he plays?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm not trying to trick you. He's in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Second round, 38th overall. No big deal.
How old is he?
Went higher than he did. What?
How old is he?
He'll be 24 on May 8th.
Okay.
Swede from Skellefteå. Skellefteå, I think is how they say it.
All right, let's hear it. What did he sign for?
5-year deal. Carrying an AAV, which stands for annual average value or average annual value.
Yep.
It doesn't matter which order you put the A in. $4,025,000. $4,025,175. So 5 years.
All right. Good for him.
His statistics. Last year he played 57 games. He had 19 points.
Okay.
This year he had he's played 50 games and he has 15 points. So okay. He's, you know, 20 point average defenseman, maybe
20-25, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you can get him in, you know, I think the projections for him are probably you get him into the 30s as he gets older and gets into that contract, and you got him all nestled in nicely there. You can start to give him a little more power play time, so you can have a really cost friendly.
Well, maybe he's not, you know,
he
with
might
the,
not be that guy.
He's not,
I don't
power,
know what
he's not a power play guy.
6'3", 177. What do you mean he's not? You know, I hate when people say that. And you were a power play guy.
No.
You never played on the power play?
I did.
Okay, so you were at one time in this league a power play guy. You were on the power play in Buffalo for a little bit when you first got here.
Yeah, you could put anybody on the power play in Buffalo at that time.
Oh, there you go.
I was the second power play guy in the league. I wasn't a first power play guy. I played actually on a first power play in San Jose, but I was just there to distribute the puck to Big Joe, and he did what he chose with it.
That's a nice spot to have, isn't it?
It was a really, really nice spot.
I mean, do you think anyone,
in.
You know, do you think you could just slap anybody in one spot to just give the puck to Ovi?
Yes.
Or give the puck to Jack?
Yes.
Or, really? Okay. All right. There's a wheelhouse location that certain people need to know.
Look at Rasmus Ristolainen. He's had 4 years of 40 points. Mm-hmm. He's done pretty darn well on the power play, and all he does is distribute it to Jack.
Not anymore.
Now he's a legendary net front presence. Couple snipies in front of the net.
Sweet dish to Samson there.
That being said, Marcus Peterson is he's not a power play guy. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know what? Maybe one day he will be. I was just trying to make it a joke, Riv.
What do you mean? Make it a joke?
Why does everything have to be so serious? It's like I have like a breaking what? News. Marcus yeah, Peterson has
guy?
Signed. He's not a power play guy. I can't be wrong about that. Come on, man.
You are wrong.
Well, who's? I don't know. How do you know in 3 years that maybe he might not get a shot on the power play because two guys go down due to injury, and he's obviously skilled. He's Swedish.
Tell me a Swede.
Tell me any Swede that you've ever played with that wasn't skilled. I don't care what his role is. Johan Larson might be a checking
line. Was Hank
line
Talander
guy
on the power
on the Larson
play?
Line, but
was
I'm
Hank Talander on the power play?
Great
skilled.
How unbelievably
crazy
skilled.
Skills.
Ridiculous.
He was not a power play guy.
Could have been.
No, he couldn't.
What? You're
He was
you know
a great
what?
Defender. That's
Craig,
what he did best. He played against top lines. He was a great skater.
There are days where I thought I should have been a lawyer. You are the greatest attorney.
I don't know why you're jumping all over me. You said, now they can put him on the power play. What do you mean, put him on the power play? He's not a power play guy. They didn't sign him for 5 years for $4 million, so now they can put him on the power play.
Craig doing his best media impression and misquoting me yet again. That's not what I said. That is not what I said, but it favors your argument, so we'll go to break on that. When we come back, we will talk a little bit more, a lot more, about the Sabres, how much trade might be coming, or how much change might be coming at the trade deadline. How's that? And the Athletic has the 2020 prospect pool rankings. You know where the Sabres are on that? Came in late today, so I'm not expecting for you to be prepared.
Do not know.
You do not know.
I do not know.
It's probably better that way. But, you know, raw reaction from Riff. There you go. There's a new segment. R Cube. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.